Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What happened? Red circle back to the ugly sweater?
There it is. Yeah, there it is. There it is. We are live. Look at it. There it is. There's a week to week right there, baby. Look at him on that one leg, baby. Patrick Mahomes. Why the hell they even got him out in practice? I mean, he could have gave him a day off. Like, they could have Christian Harris this thing and just hit him for a few months and done their thing. But we'll get to that. A lot to get to today right here live on The Drive. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Texans Ticket Tuesday. You got a chance to win front row seats to the Christmas Day game. The biggest home game of the season against the team that beat you twice, the team that took you out of the playoffs, finished that 3-game and 11-day gauntlet against the Baltimore Ravens, the team that you gotta solve, the team that has maybe a little one up on you after they beat you twice last year, got a chance to win front row tickets to that game, and it's even bigger because Beyonce is performing at halftime. And those of you who have your issues with Beyonce, we don't need you to go tweeting everything you got, texting everything you got in. But those of you who are enjoying it, you got a chance. You got a chance to see Queen Bee.
What kind
of
issues anybody got with Beyonce?
Okay. You got a chance.
What is it?
Get it? B.
What is it?
I said just let those fools be.
Yeah, I think you could think of it. Every time we mention it, it seems to fly.
Jay-Z stuff?
No. I mean, more of the political gang of it. Every time we say her name, it goes rolling through with some of our listeners. But you got a chance to attend that game. I know a lot of people want to see the hometown hero perform at the half to go along with the biggest game of the season at home against the Ravens. So you got a chance to win those in the 5 o'clock hour Christmas Day tickets. So stay tuned for that. From the text line, I hate the Chiefs, I hate Mahomes, and I hate Ron. We need more sports hate. I love it. More sports hate. That's good.
Hold on, Joe.
That's good. You know what, though? I love you. I do. Whoever that texter is, I love you.
Kill him with kindness.
I like to pinch your little cheeks. The high ones.
So cute.
Not the back ones. I like to pinch your little cheeks. Say, hello, I love you. No, it's going to be a fun week. Fun week. Texans Ticket Tuesday coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And you will hear from the head coach. That's right, baby. Short week, so he's speaking 2 days in a row. I'm sure he's annoyed. But you'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. We'll have that for you right here. And you'll hear from C.J. Stroud as well. a little bit later on in the show. So packed show here on a Tuesday. As we said, short week, so a lot of things move up for the Texans. All right, Clint. Monday Night Football last night, and they had two games. I'll be honest with you, they didn't look like two great ones. As I said to you last night on the way out, I could be tempted to slip out early and start to finish up madness, and I did. Fantastic. Good show.
Great
good
show.
Ending. I would recommend it. Ocho, I'm sure you're out there. You probably finished it as well. But I know you watched one of the games in particular, and you were looking at it through a Texans lens, and you saw, I hope Bobby Slowick's watching this. I hope Bobby Slowick is thinking about doing similar things than what you watched last night.
Well, watching and listening, because, look, the first time that the Bears and the Minnesota Vikings played this year, the Chicago Bears were able to hold Justin Jefferson to two catches for 27 yards. Now, he had five targets, but two catches for 27 yards. And Minnesota had to sneak by in overtime. They won 30-27. And in this game, as I'm watching, you watch a Minnesota-Chicago game, and Minnesota's got the football. There's one guy you're watching, and that's Justin Jefferson. And it was blatantly obvious that what Chicago was doing was they were going to shadow him if there were no motion, right? If they were just out of the huddle or at the line of scrimmage before there was any motion, they were going to shadow him with number one. What's the kid's name?
Jalen Johnson.
Corner. One of the top corners in the league.
Yes.
They were going, now whether they were playing man or they were playing zone, the original alignment when they broke the huddle, whichever side of the field Justin Jefferson went to, Jalen Johnson went to. And apparently, I didn't watch the game the first time they played, but apparently that was the problem, is that they didn't necessarily have a plan to shake one of the best corners in the league. So we saw Justin Jefferson's numbers, again, two catches, 27 yards. Well, this game started pretty similar. But what they were doing, what Minnesota was doing, was starting him on the right side of the field and making sure he motioned across the field in order to get him space, right? So it started out very similar. I think he had one catch for a touchdown. He had probably three targets in the first quarter and a half, and it was pretty clear what they were doing. Well, then Kevin O'Connell talks to, I can't remember who it was, whoever was on the field at half, either going in or coming out at half, or maybe it was one of the quarter breaks. Yeah, I don't know.
Lisa Salter.
There you go. That's exactly who it was. And he said, yeah, he said, we realized what they did last time to shut him down, and we got a plan for it. And so we watched them, again, motioning from one side to the other and get some little cheap, quick out routes. And then he comes out in the second half, and they clearly had a plan, because he comes out in the second half and he lights him up. And he had five or six catches. And had a big night. And watching that Monday Night Football game through the Texans' lens and listening to what Kevin O'Connell, who's the head coach, obviously, but he's also the play caller, listening to what he's saying, I immediately thought, well, that's exactly what we all hope as Texans fans. We all hope that Bobby Slowick can do. We just saw Nico Collins go four catches, 17 yards. Right now, look, he got two touchdowns. Both of those were in scramble drills, and so let's not get carried away with that. That was great. They're capable of doing that, but we're talking scheme. We're talking game plan. Moving forward, Nico Collins has gotten himself to a place. He's played himself into a respect around the league that clearly he's going to catch the opponent's best corner, at the very least in critical situations, if not all the time. He saw Jalen Ramsey the entire Dolphins game, and he was really, I mean, outside of the scramble drills, was taken out of the game between the 20s. Bobby Slowick is going to have his, he's going to have to pull what Kevin O'Connell did yesterday, and I believe he's going to have to do it moving forward. You got McDuffie with the Chiefs.
Trent McDuffie.
And then you've got, what's my man's name? And my mind just went blank. Marlon Humphrey in Baltimore. Two of the better corners in the league again. I would be shocked if, given what Miami was just able to do, which was limit him to four catches, and really, if you look at it, I mean, very, 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 I mean, damn near nothing between the 20s for Nico Collins. They even made the screen catch that. I think he may have ended up catching. They made it difficult. It looked like he could have got hurt right there. Hell, I just think moving forward, it's a monkey see, monkey do league. They're going to watch that film. They're going to go, that worked against Nico Collins. We got one of them guys. How about we match him up? How about we play some matchup, at least in critical situations, to take him out of it? Bobby Slowick, he spoke about it last week. Oh, we always prepare for this matchup, yada, 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 this matchup defense. Well, it didn't look like they had much of a plan last week with Jalen Ramsey. Now, worked out. They didn't need it because the defense was playing so well.
Yeah, four for 17 ain't going to get it.
4 for 17, and two of those, and I don't remember how much of the yards, but two of them were scramble drills, so those ain't. Bobby don't get credit for that. Bobby ain't getting those, yeah. Right? One of them was a screen that he caught, and his knee collapsed, and the corner hit him as soon as he caught the ball. So I can't remember the other one. But nonetheless, the point is that Bobby Slowick is going to have to do what Kevin O'Connell did last night with Justin Jefferson. Bobby Slowick's going to have to do that moving forward with Nico Collins. He's going to do it this week. He's going to do it on Christmas Day. And he's damn sure going to do it once we get into the playoffs. And so, I don't know. I heard Bobby say it. Like I said, I heard Bobby talking about it, and Bobby said that they always plan for it. It didn't seem like they executed that plan real well last week with Jalen Ramsey following. It didn't seem like they had... whether it's pre-snap movements or it's alignments or it's routes, they didn't have much to get Nico Collins either away from Jalen Ramsey or give him the field to run so that he can work his own way away from Jalen Ramsey. Last week's plan wasn't it as it pertains to Nico Collins escaping a defense's number one corner. That's got to be. In fact, I'll say this, Ron. This is the first time for me where I think we're, as fans, as just common fans watching the game, like you're going to really have something to sink your teeth into on Bobby Slowick if it doesn't happen. Like all this other crap about running it on first down or running it on second down or doing this or doing that. Like, look, at the end of the day, it's his responsibility, and he may help him lose his job after the season because I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But there's really nothing specifically like, boom, Bobby don't need to be here because Bobby can't do this, right? It's easy to say, oh, they can't score points in the second half. Oh, they can't run the ball. Oh, okay, like sink your teeth into, you got a number one receiver in the NFL.
Into something that is completely directed towards him.
And we can all see it. And we can all see it. Like this is the one where if you really want something like legitimately – To sink your teeth in, that's blatantly obvious. Let Bobby Slowick go out there and leave Nico Collins stationary let him have another day where McDuffie or Humphrey can just take him completely out of the game.
Well, it's the whole thing, and I wanted to get with you and the people on this 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, I love it when our listeners really dive in and take. You know, real careful thoughts on their thinking. As this person texted in, Bobby sucks. giving us your real thought of it. Did you see much difference coming off the bye week? Right, we're going to really self evaluate ourselves and look at the things that don't work. Look at the things that do work, and what are we going to do? Yep. Did you see much difference out of the offense? I can understand the way they went about things and how the game dictated, all right, let's just not make any mistakes. But we do know moving forward, like, yeah, you got to win. But, I mean, listen, this offense is not leading this team, but you got two major pieces on the offensive side. And 4 catches for 17 yards on 6 targets. I know 2 were touchdowns, but 4 for 17 for Nico Collins ain't going to get it done. That's not sustainable. And to go along with Joe Mixon, 12 carries, 23 yards, 1.9 a carry, 5 catches, 33 yards. That's not sustainable for them to survive against better teams. Now, like I said, I understand how and why they went about things in the second half a little bit more conservative at 20-6, sure, yeah. The way the defense was playing. I can see how that – hell, I can see D'Amico even saying, hey, let's be smart about it, not take a lot of risk. But – That's got to change between Mixon and Nico. But did you see any major differences? Did you see any difference? Did it look like they were just doing the same thing?
No, it's a lot of the same stuff. Yeah. It's a lot of the same stuff.
Like, are you look, good with that?
No,
or are you disappointed?
No. There's a lot of things I don't like about what Bobby's doing. I'll be completely honest with you. I think it's a cop out to say we gotta be super basic and go back to the simple stuff and go back to our foundation and which that may be true in protection. Like, you can go back to some basic protections and not try to be doing all this exotic stuff. But that's a cop out when it comes to, like, you're not, like, the fact that Tank Dell is not, now he had a speed sweep that went for 15 yards this week, and that's a start, but it should happen four times a game, five times a game. Whether he gets the ball or not is irrelevant, but it should happen four or five times a game. I don't, like, there's no excuse for a simple motion not being used more consistently in a game. You know, I personally do not like the Houston Texans and the outside run. I think that toss zone. I know it's worked. It worked to put the, what game was that to bed? It worked to put a
Colts
game to bed.
Away,
the Colts game,
Jags game away.
It's worked time, but it is literally feast or famine. It is toss that sucker out there and you go. Yeah, you can go get 5 or 6 yards, but you also may lose 5 or 6. Like, Dalton Schultz on the edge is just not consistent. It's not good. Your center, and I'll be honest, your guards aren't really good at keeping the backers from leaking through. And it's too much of a gamble to me. I think this team should be a downhill between the tackle run team. And personally, that's what I think. I don't think the answer anymore is, like, Dalton Schultz has to be on the field more often. Like, pulling him off and putting Cade Stover and Tegan Quatoriano in there and trying to generate a run game, that ain't gonna win you ball games at this point in time. You got to figure out a way to do some things with Dalton Schultz. I think there's still, for whatever reason, I think there is a to me, C.J. Stroud is hesitant to just wholeheartedly commit to working quick game, low to high, and staying in, like, letting the game dictate when you get aggressive. Like the wheel route, go route, whatever it is down the sideline to Joe Mixon on 3rd and 2, and then you kick a field goal. Like, if you're not going to go for it on 4th down, then you can't throw a wheel route, go route to Joe Mixon. Like, Bobby's at this point in the season, like, it's Bobby's job to take it out of CJ Stroud's hands. Like, to me, that's CJ's fault. Like, CJ's got to figure it out. But CJ's a second year pro. If the offensive coordinator can't trust the quarterback to say, hey, I'm going to call this play, and I'm going to trust that if Joe Mixon just doesn't bust butt-necking wide open,
he was
the whole time.
He
was going to throw it no matter what. Yeah. In fact, it was so blatantly obvious. It was like, it looks like, you even said it in the deal, like, they're gonna go for it on 4th and 2, right?
Because you make a throw like that.
The only reason you do it is because you're gonna get another shot on 4th down. Well, they're going to kick a field goal. Like, at this point, like, to me, that's a CJ problem. But at this point, if Bobby can't trust CJ on 3rd and 2 situations to take the higher percentage throw, keep the drive alive, and give us a chance to score more points, then damn it, you can't call it. So, you know, there's several things with Bobby that I think are legit. Like, man, this has got to be significantly better. And I do think that there is some value in them going back to the basics, going back to the fundamentals, not trying to do a bunch of exotic stuff with the problem areas, which are the O-line. Like, you don't have to be real exotic with the O-line, right? I mean, just you know who you got, and your quarterback knows who's hot, and then you play football. Whether the quarterback throws it away, whether he runs, whether he's got an outlet, whatever it may be, protection is not that difficult, right? If you get caught in a cat and mouse game where you're reacting to everything they do, then yeah, it's a difficult situation, but it's really not. So, I've got some issues with what Bobby's doing. I can't lean into the guy's not worth a damn. Fire the guy. Let's replace the guy.
I expected more though. I expected more.
Well, hell yeah.
And I will, like, the only thing, like, someone texted in and said, looks like Bobby did absolutely nothing during the bye. Creatively, it's at an all-time low.
Nobody works hard in Bobby Slowick.
Listen, I could see maybe some fairness in that statement, because it didn't look like, only thing you saw was, all right, it looked like they were trying to make a bit of an effort to get Tank the ball as much, putting him on punt return, and we see another reverse in there, and they tried to, like, but that was only at a small spurt. I did expect and would hope to expect to see more of things different from from Bobby. Maybe some new things, maybe to go away some of the tendencies.
Absolutely, right.
And I don't now I will also say, Clint, maybe there was in the second half there was a kibosh on, hey, let's not have a lot of risk. But still, man, I expected to see more.
I wholeheartedly agree. No question about it. And it's concerning. Yeah, I think that's a as a general statement with Bobby. Absolutely, I expected to see more. I expected to see more creativity. I expected to see more with Nico Collins, knowing that they were probably going to match up Jalen Ramsey. I expect to see the quarterback play to keep a drive alive instead of throwing a super, super low percentage throw to a running back. Like all of those things at some point in time, yes, we've got to lean back to the guy that's responsible for making it all go, and that's Bobby Slowick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, coming up here as we continue on this Texans Ticket Tuesday, DeMeco Ryans, we expect to hear from the head coach coming up soon as he will speak to the media ahead of this big game coming up against the Kansas City Chiefs. DeMeco Ryans coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Boy, as I take a look at here at YouTube and Twitch, that haircut is on point, though. I ain't gonna lie to you. Tyler is sticking his tongue out. For some reason, that haircut is on point. Boy, it is. Nice job, D.
You look good, man.
Yours?
Well, mine.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't really looked at yours. It looks good.
Thanks.
Somebody texted in the other day. Clint is having a hell of a hair day.
Yeah, no, it's been over a week, so I got a cut. So I knew you weren't talking about me.
No, I wasn't talking about you. Just more selfish. Coming up here, as soon as DeMeco takes the podium, we will head out to NRG to hear him. That should be coming up here any moment. But one thing he talked about yesterday, and he talked about this on the coach's show that you should listen to every single Monday for no reason than one, you get to hear the coach, and boy, it really helps us. So you could at 5 o'clock every single Monday check it out, and you can hear from the coach. But he talked about Christian Harris, talked about how he was going, talked about he was bouncing up and down on the sideline. They couldn't keep him off the field. And before we hear from him, Clint, listen, Christian Harris clearly is the special player, like the guy that just has stuff you can't teach. You know, some guys you just can play as hard as you want to and play your ass off, which is what I think Azeez Alshire does. A lot of his is such extreme effort. Obviously, I think he's a really intelligent football player from the standpoint of knowing what's going to happen and what our offenses are trying to do to him. But Christian Harris just has skills and natural God-given abilities that you just can't teach. And he's a special player. And you saw it, Hill, not playing for months, and he came right out there, and you could see that he could do things that other linebackers can't. I just would pose to all of you, we've watched this. The Texans got about three really good linebackers. And a lot of the times you're in nickel, but you got two linebackers on the field. By the way, kind of enjoyed seeing Kamari Laster coming down there as a nickel a little bit at times in the game on Sunday. We could discuss that at a later time. But if they got to have two linebackers, playoffs, everybody there, who's the two linebackers you want on the field?
It's Azeez Alshire and Christian Harris.
Yeah, that sounds like the right answer. I do want to. Henry has been playing his ass off. Henry has looked really, really good. Looked really, really good Sunday. Led the team in tackles. I know at one point in the third quarter, I looked up at that Joker had 11 tackles, and was playing well. And he moves really, really well. As you talked about, he's lost some weight in his and his ability to go out there with backs and tight ends has improved. Now, you know, you don't want him to be just stuck with, you know, Laporta like he was at times against the Lions. But hell, I don't think you want that from Azeez Alshire either. But I think you're right on that. Those are the two top guys. Henry has played himself in a way where it's not just easy to take him off the field. He has played big time football. I heard Seth say it earlier this week on Payne and Pendergast. He just looks like a completely different player.
Absolutely.
Than he did last year.
Absolutely. You know, here's the thing. One, he is, to me, he's the most improved player on this team. And I'll be honest with you, you got to throw Jalen Petrie in that mix, probably given the fact that he was watching a lot of football on the defensive side of the ball last year from the sideline late in the season. You obviously have guys like Derek Stingley who have taken a huge step, who stayed healthy and taken a huge step. So there's plenty of guys that are playing better, but I think there's none more important than Henry Toa'otoa, and his most improved has meant more because you've had so much time of guys missing with injuries or guys missing because they've been what am I looking for? What the hell happened to Aziz? My mind just went blank. They've been suspended, so. You know, that's been extremely important. And for him to come in and have been so improved has helped this football team in a major way. I don't know where this team would be if Henry Toa'otoa was still playing the way he played last year. I don't know where they would be. I mean, look, because here's
with Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt.
The crazy part of it is, Ron, is that he's not only is he obviously like significantly noticeably faster. But it's almost like it's allowed his now you can see his instincts jump off the field. Like you can see his you know, how smart he is and how quickly he recognizes things and how instinctual he is. Like you can see it and it just jumps off the field time and time again. Like you said, you look up in the fourth quarter, dude's got 11 tackles already.
But wasn't that like him and Christian, both of it, it's not shown. You don't see it because there's no stat for it. But rewatching the game, Clint, there were so many times where it was because of those two guys, and both of them were doing on whatever side of the field they were on, that the Dolphins couldn't get some of those intermediate passes that they always try to get.
Yeah.
Because Henry and Christian were just in the zone, in the way, in the space that Tua couldn't get the ball to. Yep. Hill or Waddle, whoever. So many times you could see that they were in the passing lane, which it is instincts and all of that. You know, obviously they had 2 weeks to prepare for that, but that was something watching the tape that really stuck out to me. How many times they were in the perfect space to where they cut off a route.
It's interesting, to your point. They played a lot of cover two. Now they played some hybrid two. So there were some different guys doing different things, but I only say that they played a lot of cover two because now if I'm a quarterback, if I am throwing the football, I'm going to attack the middle of the field. I'm going to attack the weakness, quote unquote, is the middle of the field where you got linebackers trying to cover a big space, right? And so not only did they play well, to your point, overall, just generally speaking, they were playing a coverage that invites offensive coordinators and quarterbacks to attack them specifically, and they still played some of their best football. The defense was still suffocating to a really, really fast break offense in the NFL. That was big. So on top of just the 30,000 foot view to, hey, they played well. They played well under circumstances and playing coverages where they were the damn target. By a very, very talented quarterback as it pertains to targeting linebackers and a very explosive offense with the weapons that Miami can throw at you.
Yeah. All right, coming up, it looks like he's coming to the podium soon. DeMeco Ryans, we want to make sure you get everything from him, the coach, as he speaks on the biggest road game the Texans have on their schedule at Kansas City, and hear his thoughts on potentially the injuries that the Texans have and the injuries that the Chiefs have as well. Looks like Dalton Schultz didn't practice today, so hopefully we'll get an update on that from DeMeco. DeMeco Ryans, hopefully coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we'll head to NRG as soon as DeMeco and them. Serious practice today, as he has not made it to the podium yet. We will head there as soon as the head coach comes to the podium. Real quick, some breaking news in the AFC South. Damn. The Titans are planning on making the switch at quarterback this week. Will Levis has been benched.
He can't play dead in a horror movie.
Yeah, thanks, Shannon. Not surprising. This was a critical year. This was basically the Davis Mills year for him. Hey, man, got a new head coach, you know, or got a head coach, and we'll give you a shot. We'll give you a shot to see what you're able to do. This will be your year to start. This will be your year to start. These guys did not draft you. They brought your lead. The coaching staff didn't draft you. They brought you in. We'll give you a shot. And it has not really gotten better. He's had some moments. But even in the game against the Texans, when you think of there's a moment, I mean, he did reckless things in that game as well and attempted to lose it. Will Levis, I would assume almost Clint, less maybe he's just willing to sit in a backup role or whatever. This may be his last game with the Titans.
I think it's interesting, Ron, because I could see where the Titans would say, hey, we really like this guy. I'm not saying this is what they're saying or his play has warranted this. I'm just giving two different scenarios, by the way. If the Titans really like him, I could see where they're going, hey, man, it's been a long season, right? This kid's never experienced anything like this. The season's not going like we thought it would. He's overwhelmed. He's been overwhelmed. He's getting the hell beat out of him. We're not going anywhere, obviously, this year. Let's pull the reins back. Let's get him on the sideline before we get him hurt, before we get him lost, any more lost than he's already been. And let's use the next month to coach the hell out of him with a veteran out there playing. And hopefully some light bulbs start going off in this kid's head of how to play the position at a higher level. I'm not saying Mason Rudolph is the guy that you want teaching your young quarterback. He is a veteran. He's played a lot of football. He started playoff games. Maybe there's something there. I could understand where the Titans could say there's value in him on the sideline where there's just not a whole lot of value of continuing to run him out there and get the hell beat out of him. He is so overwhelmed right now, right? I could also see, which is probably more likely, where they have realized, like, this guy's not our future. This guy's not our future. We need to get Mason Rudolph some run. He's going to be a depth quarterback for us, a second-string quarterback for us moving forward, if not have to start for a year until we find our guy. I could see both of those scenarios. I do wonder how much they are in or out on Will Levis.
I don't know, man. I find it – because what is their record? They got to be a top 10. They're got to be picking in the top 10.
Yes.
All right, I think they're 3-3, and maybe they got 3 wins. Yeah, I think they got 3 wins. What are they, 3-11?
3-11.
Yeah, 3 wins. So they got to be in the top. They top 5, what you're talking. They got to be drafting a quarterback, right?
You would think so. It's not a great quarterback draft.
It's
once
not.
Once Cam's gone and Shadur's gone, I don't know that there's – who else is out
Milroe,
there?
Milroe, I guess.
Milroe ain't coming out. Milroe's another one of them kids. And he ain't got no business talking about declaring he's coming. These guys declaring they're coming back.
But what about in this draft? What's the next year draft?
But that don't matter, Ron. There ain't no way. Like, Milroe could come out and somebody may draft him in the second round because of the athletic ability. Nobody's drafting Milroe because of the way he's put on the field, the film he's put out to the way he's throwing the football right now, right? The athletic ability may turn some people on. If he goes back to college and has just a good year throwing the ball around the park with that athletic ability, he'll be a top half of the first round pick with that athletic ability. I mean, there's
you like, think Jalen can go back and make himself a first round pick?
I think it'd be a long shot, but I think that would be, to me, that should be the plan. Not just, I mean, he can go back to college and make $1 million a year. Why the hell would he come up here and go in the second round and get lost in the shuffle in the NFL system? I mean, you're risking getting drafted by one of these dysfunctional organizations and get lost in the system. And he's not a guy that can overcome that, right? I mean, he needs to take his ass back to college, make another $1 million in college. And when the timing's right, not because it's a weak quarterback draft or whatever, when he has the year, when he either runs out of eligibility or has the year that says, boom, now's my time to come out, baby. I mean, these kids can make $1 million a year. And the kid at Arkansas is making $750 to $1 million. He's got to be making $1 million. I mean, none of these kids that are announcing, the kid at Penn State announcing he's coming back. I mean, tangibly, he's got some tools, and he would be a second round, if not a first round pick. Okay, when was the last time we saw a guy come out to just – when was the last time we saw a quarterback that's young come out early, that's got all these tools and potential, come out early and be like, oh, I'm good getting drafted early second round, late first, when you potentially could be a top 10 pick, right? Like, that's – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's happened more than I thought, but, like, I don't –
Yeah, I mean, could Jalen Hurts get even going back? Or was that his?
I mean, Hurts. Hell, Hurts played at least 5 years of college.
Yeah.
I mean, he may have had with COVID and all that. I don't remember exactly where he was at.
Because that's to me where I see like where Milroe potentially is that. Is that, hey man, he's in a quarterback class that isn't great, and maybe he sneaks into the back half of the first round because, you know, organizations get desperate before it goes to the second round. And then if it's a later team, Clinton may be a team that
maybe a good situation. It could work out for him. I'm just saying
if he can be a first round pick, if there's even any possibility of that, I think a kid's gotta come.
You think a quarterback, like anybody, if there's any, like the Drew Aller kid at Penn State, in any first round pick, he got to come out.
Like Milroe, who I think, like to me, I think it's more likely that Milroe goes back and hurts his style than goes back and.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like Jalen, here's what we're getting. We're not mentioning. We felt it. Like Jalen Hurts proved that he could throw the football at an elite college level. I mean, there's still some ups and downs.
That
year at Oklahoma, the year with Enos backing up at Alabama, and the year at Oklahoma was really, really good. And to me, that's what Milroe needs. Like, Milroe needs a year of where you can tell when you turn the film on, like, mechanically, he's been worked out. The game is slower for him. Now you got that athletic ability. And, oh, by the way, you can make $1 million in the process a year doing it if you stay. And then he comes out. Milroe is a different conversation than like the kid at Penn State, the Drew Aller kid at Penn State. That's a good point. I don't know that Milroe has top of the first round in him if he goes out and has a better year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To bet and say, all right, man, they're talking about in this week quarterback draft where it's just really Cam and Shadur. I'm the third guy. The third guy could be in the second round. The third guy could be late in the first. The third guy could be mid first.
Is a better college year. That's a good question.
And he'll make a little bit more.
That's a good question. But is a better college year more valuable for Jalen Milroe than a subpar college year, but a weak quarterback class? Which one bodes better for him? I don't know. That's a good question. I think he's got potential to do what Jalen Hurts did. Like, he's a better he's a more confident thrower right now than Jalen Hurts was at Alabama.
And Jalen
made that huge stride at Oklahoma. If he can just make just half of that kind of stride at Alabama, I mean, look out now.
And I also think whenever Jalen comes out, Milroe comes out, I think it'd be a bad move if he starts immediately.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So what if he does go into next year and has a great year?
Yeah,
and then he comes out to one somebody, of those but let's say he goes back to college and has a great year and then gets himself into a place where he's a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
There's a thought he might have.
Well, I don't know how accurate this is, but I think I heard this yesterday or this morning. I think there's going to be 8 head coach vacancies. Which tell me that there's at least going to be 5 quarterback. You know what I mean? Most of those, I don't know who all they are that are probably getting fired. If we thought about it, we could probably sit here and rattle them off. But that's it. The Milroe thing's an interesting question. I believe when you make $1 million a year and go back to college and better your game, I don't know what the situation is. If there's still a good quarterback developer, which I would think so, in that system at Alabama, hell, Penix come out of it. He was lighting it up. But
the thing is, it won't matter. Jalen feels like a guy, and how we got here, but Jalen feels like a guy like Will Levis that needed to go to the right person for them. No matter when he comes out, this year or next year. So like, hey, maybe old Matt Stafford is and Sean McVay's looking for maybe the next one. Or if Kyle Shanahan is, I don't know if I want to sign.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be bad.
He gets to go to one of those places.
Be a second round pick, and you it's Philly, and you back up Hurts for a few years in that system, doing some of the stuff he's doing.
May not be a bad plan.
Bad.
All right, coming up as we continue, whatever we do here from the head coach, we'll roll to him as well, but. There is some more quarterback news and quarterback news that really concerns the Texans coming up on Saturday. We'll let you know the latest about that and let you know why you should be happy. You as a Texans fan should be happy about this news. We'll discuss that coming up next.